Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from the throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never sayest no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Before we start the video, if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, and because we are whiter than snow, the Lord has done his part. There's no part that we need to do for our salvation, but there is a part that we need to do to remain right with the Lord and walk with the Lord in the way he would have us to walk and have him to serve. The washing has been taken care of, but what about our walk? What part of our life does God need to trim away? What part of our life does God need to work on to take away that baggage that we are carrying that we need to relinquish? So after the video, I may make a few more comments, but I'm also going to make it available for you if you would like to raise your hand, ask a question, or to make a comment about the video. But let's read this verse together first. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So if we are created unto good works, and we are to walk in them, then that tells us in many aspects in our world today, we as believers as a whole are not acting like, or we're not working the good works as God has created us. We have strayed, or we have allowed Satan to dupe us, as I talked about this morning, or we have allowed some things in our life, our baggage in our life, that we just can't do more. We just got back from a trip from, where did I go? I'll just tell you, went to Vegas. No, I didn't go on the trip. But when we got back, there were some things to unload. And I picked up some bags, and Michelle got a few things and went in. I asked her to go in, start the kettle, because I want some tea. So I picked up two bags, and I walked in, and guess what? Still bags in a car that I could not get in one trip. So I took the bags in. I came back and got a few more things, because Michelle went shopping. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, sometimes we try to carry too much. We have baggage that the Lord needs to chisel away and take off, that we're carrying that we should not be carrying, either because it's too much, and sometimes a good thing can be too much of a good thing. There needs to be a balance. But there are some things that the Lord wants to chisel off because there are things in our life that are preventing us from doing the good things and the better things, or preventing us from serving in the way that we should serve him. So when will we allow God to chisel away the sin that is destroying us individually? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you've got a good memory, fantastic. If you don't want anyone next to you seeing what you write down, then move over a seat or two. But I want to encourage you to take a piece of paper. And if something comes to mind, make a note. Or someone sitting too close and you don't want anyone to see what you write down, then make a good mental note and write it down as soon as you can. Because I'm asking you to pray with me that those thoughts that come to your mind is what the Lord puts there. Because he says, you need that. You need to work on that. And believe me, I had a list of a few things after watching the video. Because sometimes we just carry too much. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings and your joy of fellowship. And I pray now that you'd help us, Lord, to take a video that two creative men put together to challenge us, to provoke us unto thought in our walk and relationship and the baggage that we carry. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for me through this. And I pray that you'd help me and continue to help me in my life and not carrying more than I need to carry. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good.
You bet.
I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name.
Amen.
I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Or a ledger where God spoke to your heart and you made a decision saying, I know what this is what God wants me to do. I know this is what God wants me to stop doing it. I think for the most part, everyone in this room has probably made some type of either in journaling, either an altar in your seat or at home somewhere, or just talking to God out loud. So my question to you tonight is, where are you at on that commitment and promise? Are you still actively pursuing and doing at the best of your ability of what God has called you, provoked you, convicted you about doing, about giving up, about putting back into your life of maybe something that was taken out? So I'd like to take a moment before I say anything else. Anybody have a comment? Anybody have a question? Anybody have something you want to say after viewing the video? I'm not asking you to confess your sins. I'm just asking you your thoughts, what come to mind, or how you received it. Anybody? Don't be bashful, Brother Ken. And it hurts because it's something we've taken, we should not have, and the flesh has gotten used to it in many cases, and we don't want to relinquish. And God is not going to cause the pain or the chipping away of something unless it's going to better us, to make and help us. Kevin, are you going to say something? Both can say, good. Anyone else with a comment? Don't be bashful. We got at least two, Miss Marlene. That's right. We are his masterpiece. Everything that we see on television, every commercial that's played, is for a purpose to get you to buy their product. They don't tell you what happens the next morning after the Miller High Light. They don't tell you what's down the road after being involved in marijuana and cigarettes and other drugs. They don't tell you what the effects are. They're there to sell a project, and Satan uses that as well to hook and to grab a hold of. The world, friends, the world has nothing for us. They might provide material things to build a home and have a nice car, but I mean spiritually, they do not have anything for us. Church, your relationship, your church family here is what benefits us and helps us to grow involved in a local church that we might grow thereby and see our children to grow as well spiritually. Good. Anyone else? Oh, it's Miss Cheryl. Miss Cheryl finished a book recently, put it out, and to my shame, I just read it the other day. And the intro, Michelle's working on it. I'm going to read it eventually. And Miss Cheryl made a comment, and it was God's timing that I did not. This last trip, I really needed it. There's been just so much on me as a pastor, and nothing that I can't bear with the Lord's help, and God provided some doors. But Miss Cheryl made the comment, when I being very discouraged in the beginning of her book and writing it through thank yous, and one of them was to Pastor Doug Cook. And she thanked me for teaching her what forgiveness and selflessness means. And what conviction that brought to me to remind me, am I still displaying a forgiving heart? Am I still selfless in my life and in my ministry? Between the video and the book, the Lord did a little chiseling on me as well and reminding me, if you're already doing something right, keep doing it. Keep being forgiving. Keep being selfless. Keep be all those things and the attributes that I've given you to be. Keep working on them because God reminded me, no matter what I think, at least I know I was a blessing to one family. And that's enough for me. Are we continually doing the things that we know God wants us to do? Tommy, in our little video, went through some difficult things. They're just actors, but he openly in the video shared some of those problems that he's struggling with. Ours may not have been named, but if you can honestly sit there and said, there's nothing need to be chiseled away, I'm sorry, you're not being honest with yourself. Because as long as we live in a body of flesh and blood, we're going to struggle with the flesh. There's no end. The difference is if we conquer the flesh or allow the flesh to conquer us. Anyone else before we close? I'm going to use an illustration, repeat some of what she said, and throw in an illustration to help you better what I understand as well. In order to serve the Lord, we need to be in the right place. And part of being in the right place is having peace and planting yourself in a church that God would have you to be in, to be under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. She made the comment that evangelist that was with us this past week, and particularly in the evening service where the Lord really got a hold of her heart, and she felt like she should have responded publicly, though she responded secretly, but she felt like maybe if I would have responded publicly, others may have as well. And I understand that. Sometimes God has to put us in a position, a place to get our attention. For some of you men, ladies, some of you are very handy as well. But I can remember times working on a workbench. And some of you craftsmen understand better, where we're trying to get a hold of something and we're trying to work on it, and we just feel like we need a third hand. We need another hand. So we move to another desk and we get what we call this vice grip. And we open it up and we put that item in there and we crank it down and tighten it up. Now I've got two hands because my third hand is. Sometimes we need to allow God to just to get a hold of us and be still and let Him work. Too often we're wiggling around or resisting as Tommy did. Well, not now, and wanting to step away. Sometimes we just have to submit ourselves to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, lock me down and work on me. But that's only going to happen if you submit yourself to the Lord to allow Him to lock you down, to allow Him to tighten the screws, so to say, that He might be able to work on you. Because it's not comfortable. It's different. It's not. But it's needful for God to chisel away those things in our life that are preventing us from being our better self or what God wants us to be. Brother Darrell. When I first got married and married the wonderful, beautiful Michelle, I did not fully know what I was getting myself into. And if you're honest, If you're honest with yourself, when we fully submit ourselves to the Lord, we don't know what we're getting into. But here's a parallel. I loved her enough that I was willing to make some changes. I loved her enough that I wanted to spend the rest with her. I loved her enough that she was the one that I was going to look to, the one I was going to love, the one that's going to take care of me and not mama anymore. Took me a little while to learn it, but I learned it. I learned real quick, and I still do today. I still open the door for her. I still hold her hand in public when we walk. I still rob a kiss every once in a while in public, whether it embarrasses her or not, because I'm affectionate toward her. I love her. But we must ask ourselves, and I must ask myself, do I love the Lord as much? Am I willing to let him take my hand and guide me? Am I willing to relinquish some of the old ways of family and friends and the way I was raised? And even though it was boys' night out and other things going on, to say, no, I'm married now. I have a bride. Jimmy, you realize back in the day, a couple times in the Old Testament, when a gentleman got married, he devoted a whole year to his wife. A whole year. To nothing but her. Kind of hard to do that unless you save your money. Start when you're about 13, and that we can, maybe if you get married when you're 40, you'll be able to afford it. But the point I'm trying to make is, how much of our life have we set aside to devote with the Lord? You've heard me say this, but I'll say it again. The best way for me to be right with this wonderful woman that I love so much, the best way for me to be right with her is to be right with him. The best way. Because if I'm not right with her, I can't be right with him. If I'm not right with him, I cannot be right with my church family. I cannot be right with my friends and those that are around me. I cannot be right with my local church. First, right with him. And sometimes that means placing myself in the vice and allowing God to chisel away at some things that are standing in the way. Wouldn't it be horrible to find out one day in heaven? Wouldn't it be horrible to find out one day, somehow, some way, that you were the reason why revival never came to Harvest Baptist Church? Why revival never came to your church? Because you go. As Brother Enoch has said many times, and Brother Dale remind us, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force things on. He does convict, and it is overwhelming. But guess what? Sometimes we can still resist the Holy Spirit. We can still fight. It's not a wise decision. Matter of fact, it is not a very smart decision at all. So, will you put advice and say, Lord, chisel, remove what needs to be removed. And Lord, if there's something that needs to be added, show me and I'll do it. Anything else before we close? Anyone else? All right, I trust and pray this morning's service. I promise you would be brief this afternoon. I hope there's briefness, but also to a point that it takes you some time this afternoon and the weekend to chew on and to digest and to meditate on. Thank you for the men and some of the ladies that came to me and talked to me today about the morning's message and encouraged me and thanking me. I appreciate that. I hope and pray I can be a help and a blessing in any way that I can, because again, that's what I'm here for. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your blessings, your love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for your patience and your long-suffering. Thank you, Father, for your willingness, Lord, to allow us to be part of your handiwork. Help us to remember that we were created in you, and we were created into good works. And, Father, help us to walk in them. Help us to put ourselves in the vise on a daily, weekly, monthly, however often it's needed, to allow you to chip away at some things that need to be removed in our life, that we might be more like you and less like self. Help us to be forgiving. Help us to be loving. Help us to be selfless. And Father, help us again. If we could just be more like you, those things would be so much easier. But Lord, help us to accomplish and remember that we can do these things just one day at a time. And then when we get through the day, we can start the next day and start again. But Father, help us. Pray, Father, that you'd work in the lives of your people here at Harvest, here in our community. And Father, I pray and beg of you again, Father, please bring revival to our community, to our church. Lord, let it start with me, but Father, bring what we so much need in our community. Again, Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, God loves you and his preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your holiday tomorrow. I hope that you have off and enjoy your family. God bless you. You're dismissed.